president is dead. ABC's Quincy Howe had a chat this afternoon with a former president of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Quincy?
I wasn't the only one in that chat, Don. Over at the Waldorf Astoria, General Eisenhower had prepared a brief statement for the press, radio, television, and so on. His office handed this to the press, and then a number of us reporters had gathered in a corridor on the 8th floor of the Waldorf where the general is staying at the moment, and he came down, and instead of reading his statement, he said, maybe you'd like to have me just say it as I recall it, improvise it, and then he let us ask him a few questions. Here is part of that interview with former President Eisenhower.
General Eisenhower, for the nation, be all right in a few months ahead.
Oh, I'm not going to predict anything. I just say this. The American nation is a people of great common sense. And they are not going to be stampeded over the road.
General, how in history has had assassinations affected the political course of events?
Well, of course, in Lincoln's assassination, you were the... The presidency went to a man who was a registered Democrat, Mr. Johnson. In Garfield, I doubt that there was any. And, of course, McKinley, I brought in Theodore Roosevelt. Of course, there have been other attempts in late years. Mr. Truman was at a grave threat to his life, and Mr. Roosevelt, just before he was inaugurated, you remember, down in, when Mayor Cermak was killed, ran a very grave risk. There are these things that happen, and it seems inexplicable to me, because Americans are loyal, and it's just this occasional psychopathic sort of accident that occurs, and I don't know what to do about it.
Could you say anything, General, about how people will feel abroad from all your experience with the United Nations and others? How will it be taken abroad?
Well, I think they will be a bit bewildered. In the civilized countries of the world, this doesn't happen so often. And you remember in the starting of World War I, the murder of the Archduke Ferdinand, I think his name was, why, this very itself almost was one of the contributory causes to that war. But here, I just don't know what happens. But we are a nation that where our freedoms are allowed. Observed in such a way that everybody is ready everybody is, you might say, capable of doing this if he's ready to put his own life on the line.
General, how will you spend the rest of today and tomorrow? How will you spend the rest of today and then tomorrow and into the weekend?
Okay. I have canceled the dinner date that I had for tonight. Tomorrow, I'm going immediately to my home, and if I'm wanted for any purpose whatsoever, I will, of course, be available.
Would you have any advice for the American people at this time?
No, as I said, I know the American people will stand solid, and they will not be stampeded.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right, thank you.
Another former president has a room at the Waldorf, and from President Hoover's office came a brief statement in which he said, among other things, I am shocked and grieved to learn of President Kennedy's assassination. He loved America and has given his life for his country. That was what former President Hoover had to say about the death of President Kennedy today. This is Quincy Howe in New York.
From Dallas, Texas, we've received some information that gives some of the observations by Mrs. John Connolly, wife of the wounded Texas governor, who is also in that first car with President Kennedy today when the president was assassinated. Mrs. Connolly said that Mrs. Kennedy turned to her husband just before the fatal shots fired out. Mrs. Kennedy said, well, you can't say Dallas wasn't friendly to you. An ironic statement. Mrs. Connolly said that Mrs. Kennedy turned to her husband, made the remark as they rode past the cheering crowds in Dallas before the assassination attempt. Mrs. Kennedy at the time was wearing a pink wool suit and matching pink pillbox hat. She had a bunch of yellow roses with her as she rode in the open-top White House limousine. They'd been presented to Mrs. Kennedy at the Dallas airport. Those roses were lying on the blood-spattered car outside the hospital as her husband lay dying inside. When the attack came on the president, Mrs. Kennedy clutched her husband to her as he slumped forward in the seat of the car. She knelt on the floor over him during the ride to the hospital. And she helped lift her dying husband onto a stretcher at the hospital. Then she went inside the hospital. She naturally was stunned as she entered the hospital. The doctors attending the president said that they did not take any time to notice whether Mrs. Kennedy or any members of the White House staff were with the president at the very moment when he died. Members of the White House party said that naturally Mrs. Kennedy's first thought was then to be with her children, Caroline 6, John Jr. He'll be 3 just next week. As we heard from the White House just a little while ago, the children have not been informed yet. It'll be Mrs. Kennedy's sad duty to tell them of the loss of their father when she returns shortly, within the hour, to the White House. Mrs. Kennedy, the body of the late president, and President Lyndon Johnson and Mrs. Johnson, now flying back aboard the presidential plane to Washington. They are due to land at Andrews Air Force Base in about 55 minutes from now. From Mexico City, we learn a customs official says the U.S.-Mexican border was sealed immediately after the assassination today of President Kennedy. The order closing the frontier issued by U.S. authorities an hour and 12 minutes ago. Overseas in Holland, radio bulletins heard in greatest shock. The news given at once to Queen Juliana. My God, said a spokesman at the Netherlands Foreign Office, how could such a thing have happened? In Britain, ABC's Bill Sheehan reported to us, they are deeply shocked at the death of President Kennedy. And Bill Sheehan told us of these reactions from persons in the downtown streets of London. From a lawyer, he said, I can't believe it. It's the worst thing that could happen. He was a great friend of this country. And from a British secretary, in disbelief, no, no, it can't be true. Who would possibly want to do it? And for more around the world, here is ABC's Bernard Kaplan reporting from Paris.
The news of President Kennedy's assassination came at 7:50 Paris time, too late for the evening newspapers here, as most Frenchmen were sitting down to their dinner. President de Gaulle, who only a few hours before had said farewell to the visiting West German Chancellor Erhard, who had been due to see Mr. Kennedy next week in Washington, got the stunning news from an aide-de-camp at the Elysee Palace as he and Madame de Gaulle, as is their custom, were about to switch on the nighttime news bulletin. De Gaulle, a man who during the past 3 years has himself escaped 2 assassination attempts unscratched, is said to have been as badly shaken by the news as his aides have ever seen him. His immediate comment was, President Kennedy died like a soldier under fire for his duty and in the service of his country. In the name of the French people, a friend always of the American people, I salute this great example and this great memory. The American president's death, in the view of NATO officials here, could convulse the international situation. So many recent developments, they believe, have been predicated on Mr. Kennedy's prestige and personality. Bernard Kaplan, ABC, Paris.
And here in the ABC Radio News studios in New York, a thought concerning the assassination of the president today. Dr. David H.C. Reed, minister of the Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Dr. Reed.
For most of us, words don't come easily at a time of shock and horror. And today's tragedy has left only one word on people's lips, unbelievable. And yet it has happened. And we must face the loss together with something of the courage and the confidence that President Kennedy himself possessed. In our bewilderment, we can only pray that this hideous deed may awaken the conscience of us all to the terrible consequences of hatred and fanaticism. The Protestant community feels today an even deeper shock and sense of personal loss, since just 2 weeks ago the President was our guest here in New York at a dinner of the Protestant Council. And as we mourn him now, shattered by this fearful news, we would surround his family with our prayers and affection. and commend the nation to our God in Christian confidence and hope.
Thank you, Dr. Reed. The minister of the Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City, Dr. David H.C. Reed. We received word from Dallas, Texas, that Governor John Connally, who was wounded by the assassin who shot and fatally wounded President Kennedy, Texas Governor John Connally, reported to be now in satisfactory condition at the Parkland Memorial Hospital. The doctors operated on Texas Governor John Connally for a bullet wound of the chest. Here is the chronology of what happened to President Kennedy today. At 8:45 this morning, the president, walking bareheaded and without a coat through a misty rain, crossed a parking lot across the street from the Fort Worth Hotel, Texas. He spoke there to a cheering throng of Democrats who could not get tickets to see him at a breakfast appearance, apologized because Mrs. Kennedy was not with him. Said the president, she's organizing herself. It takes them a little longer. And as the president said, they always look a bit nicer. At 9 o'clock, 15 minutes later, the president and Mrs. Kennedy attended the breakfast in the Hotel Texas. It was sponsored by the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce. Mrs. Kennedy did arrive some minutes after the president. Her entrance, though, brought a tremendous applause from the 2,500 guests as they stood up in honor of Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy. They were presented Texas boots, the president given a Texas hat. He declined to put it on in public, joking that he would wear it at the White House come next Monday. At 10:35 this morning, the president and Mrs. Kennedy left the Texas Hotel. They went by car for Carswell Air Force Base, just outside of Fort Worth, and a short flight over to Dallas. At 11:37 this morning, the presidential plane landed at Dallas's Love Field. Mrs. Kennedy emerged from the plane smiling, shaking hands with the airport greeters. That moment, she was carrying a bouquet of roses. Young men in the crowd shouted to her, "Hey, Jackie," and they tried to squeeze forward for a closer look at the attractive lady. Several young girls screaming over Mr. Kennedy as he made his way through the crowd. No sign there, any anti-Kennedy statement. They left the motorcade that was to take them over an 11-mile route, including downtown Dallas. Then at about 12:25 p.m. Dallas time, the motorcade approached a triple underpass which feeds into the Stemmons Expressway, the five-lane route to the Dallas trademark where Mr. Kennedy was to make a luncheon speech. A series of rifle shots, three of them, ran out. The president fell face down in the back seat of his car, a bullet in his head. Governor John Connally of Texas slumped at his side, wounded in the back. Mrs. Kennedy grasped her husband's head and she gasped, "Oh, no." The motorcade immediately, on orders of the Secret Service, raced to Parkland Hospital near the trademark. Mr. Kennedy taken into the emergency ward. There, the doctors did what they could. He received blood transfusions and the extreme unction from two Catholic priests. At 1 p.m., 35 minutes after the bullets were fired, President Kennedy was pronounced dead. His body now on board the White House plane with Mrs. Kennedy and President Johnson, who was sworn in at the Dallas airport, now winging their way sadly back to the nation's capital, due to arrive at Andrews Air Force Base in about 45 minutes. A late report from the White House. We take you to Irv Chapman, ABC, Washington.
All day tomorrow for viewing by...
Okay.
Here at the White House, it's been made known that the late president's body will lie in repose in the East Room of the White House for viewing by members of his family starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and other government officials through the rest of the day. In addition, the first White House appointments have been made and announced for President Johnson for this evening. Tomorrow, the president's family, President Kennedy's family, will view the body in the East Room at 10 a.m. At 11, President Johnson, the Speaker, ex-presidents, members of the executive branch holding presidential appointments will file past. In the afternoon at 2, the Supreme Court and members of the federal judiciary At 2:30, members of the Senate and House, governors of the 50 states and territories. At 5, the diplomatic corps. At this moment, President Johnson is in the air en route to Washington. We are informed he will make a statement on his arrival at Andrews Air Force Base outside the capital city in something like an hour from now. It has been determined that the cabinet will not be at the airport to meet him, but at the White House, when he arrives here, he will meet almost immediately with Defense Secretary McNamara and with McGeorge Bundy, the presidential aide for national security affairs. At 8 tonight, President Johnson will meet with bipartisan leadership of the Congress. Presidential Assistant News Secretary Andrew Hatcher made these announcements in a very emotional atmosphere in the White House press room a few moments ago. Meanwhile, the city is preparing to be a capital in mourning. Radio stations are announcing school closings. Theatrical performances will not be put on, and the city prepares to remain in a state of dignity and calm as the new president arrives and takes office here. Zirk Chapman, ABC at the White House.
And in connection with the closings and various announcements, I might add that in New York City, shortly after it was known that the president had been shot this afternoon, all of the financial community closed up. New York Stock Exchange, the American Exchange, the over-the-counter markets, and all of the financial community stopped operations. From Vatican City, ABC has received some comments by Pope Paul VI. And for that, we take you now to Vatican City and the voice of Pope Paul VI.
We are deeply shocked by the sad and tragic news of the killing of the President of the United States of America, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and the serious wounding of Governor Connally. And we are profoundly saddened by so dastardly a crime, by the mourning which afflicts the great and civilized country in its head, by the suffering which strikes at Mrs. Kennedy, her children, and the family. With all our hearts, we deplore this unappearance. We express the heartfelt wish that the death of this great statesman may not damage the cause of the American people, but rather reinforce its moral and civic sentiment and strengthen its feelings of nobility and concord. And we pray to God that the sacrifice of John Kennedy may be made to favor the cause he promoted and to help defend the freedom of peoples and peace in the world. He was the first Catholic president of the United States. We recall our pleasure in receiving his visit and in hearing the sermon in him, great wisdom and high resolution for the good of humanity. Tomorrow, we shall offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass that God may grant him eternal rest, that he may comfort and console all those who weep for him in his death, and in order that not happen, that Christian law should reign among all mankind.
The sadness of the Vatican expressed by Pope Paul VI. And additionally, in Rome, ABC's correspondent John Cassily has some observations.
I've just spoken with Pope Paul VI in his private library. His first words, "How is Mrs. Kennedy?" "Her children, I'm very sorry. I'm shocked, horrified that in a civilized country like the United States, such a thing could happen." The Pope was extremely downcast. Twice he had gone to his private chapel to pray for President Kennedy. At the first news that Mr. Kennedy had been wounded, then when the president was rushed to an operating table. He was praying for Mr. Kennedy at the very moment he died. We had the pleasure of meeting him right here, Pope Paul said. It now seems like just a short while ago. He folded his hands, looked down at the floor, and then lifted his arms in prayer, and as if to say, how could such a thing really happen? On the Pope's desk was an autographed picture of President Kennedy. He looked at it. To his right was a large gold box, a gift of Mr. Kennedy when the President called on Pope Paul last July. The Pope closed the box and said, we're sorry, truly and sincerely sorry, and I will pray for America, the American people, and all the Kennedy family. John Casserly, ABC, Vatican City.
Thank you, John. John Casserly expressing the Pope's concern over the children of the Kennedys. Mrs. Kennedy has not yet informed the children of the loss of their father. In London, at number 10 Downing Street, the official residence of Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Alec Douglas Hume, this short statement issued this evening. The Prime Minister has learned with the most profound shock the horror and death by assassination of the President of the United States. In this country, the man who gave the oath of office to President Kennedy on January 20th, 1961, Chief Justice Earl Warren said angrily that the President's death resulted from what Chief Justice Warren called the hatred and bitterness that has been injected into the life of the nation by bigots. Justice Warren added, the entire world is poorer because of his passing. May God protect our nation in this hour of crisis. Chief Justice Earl Warren. Down in Dallas, Texas, authorities are now questioning a 24-year-old man to see if he has any connection with the slaying of President Kennedy. He is Lee Oswald. He is a definite suspect in the fatal shooting of a Dallas policeman and a definite suspect in the assassination of President Kennedy. Oswald was taken when armed with a pistol. He was arrested in a theater. He used that pistol to kill one of the policemen trying to apprehend him. Another policeman was able to subdue him and pull him from the theater, screaming and yelling. As he was taken out, he was hollering, well, it's all over now.